Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you. Thank you. Here I am. It's always interesting to have a first service that's a little unexpected. And then I really do remember that it's not me doing all of this, that I'm letting go and being here in this moment, letting God do what God's up to, whatever that looks like. So here we are this morning. As we're moving into the 21st century, gender has become a more nuanced topic. Gender expressions and descriptions aren't limited anymore to the binary man, woman, male, female. There's an amazing range of possibilities, which includes acknowledging a gender fluid identity. Given that much change in how we label ourselves and others, I started to wonder whether a talk on the divine feminine is even relevant. And I realized it's more relevant now than it ever has been as we're moving beyond fixed definitions and gender stereotypes based on physical characteristics at birth. The labels we choose for ourselves describe us moment to moment, but they don't define us. The result is this opening of an opportunity to see ourselves and others as we are, not as we think or expect we should be. And that's a big deal. Gender isn't the only label we use to define how we expect people should and shouldn't be. Here are a couple of other examples from my life. Some years ago, I dated an African-American cable car driver. It was actually really cool. And one evening, we were making dinner for a group of friends. Rather than peeling carrots, I was scraping them, and Al asked me what I was doing. I explained that my grandmother had told me peeling carrots caused too much waste. He was shocked that I, as a white person, knew anything about not wasting food. His stereotype of white folks didn't include their being aware of such things. Here's another example of how we make assumptions about who people are based upon relationships. You probably aren't surprised if I tell you that I was a very shy, nerdy kid in high school. I had very few friends. Those were all nerds like me, and we were not in any way, shape, or form part of the in group. Then, in my junior year, I got a boyfriend. And that boyfriend was a member of the swimming team and was incredibly popular. Suddenly, the folks that were cool started noticing me and paying attention to me and saying, "Wow, Tara, we never realized how cool you are." I had not changed. But because I had a boyfriend, their perception of who I was had shifted. Had nothing to do with me, had to do with their image of who I was. There's so many ways that we label and identify people and make assumptions about them. I'm going to invite you into a short experiment. You don't have to share anything that comes up with anyone. Close your eyes and notice the gender that first comes to mind for each of the following items I'm going to list. Don't overthink it, and please don't try to be politically correct. Just notice what comes up. Here are the items. Voter. Firefighter. Parent. Scientist. Electrician. Nurse. Professor. Spouse. If you're like me, you drew from your experience and your expectations, at least partly based upon the culture and society you grew up in. This discussion highlights why recognizing differences like gender expression matters. There's a richness in the differences, the infinite ways in which one takes form. Being curious about those differences, for example, exploring the gifts of the divine feminine, makes them more available to each of us until we begin to consider what's feminine, what's masculine, what's human. We don't have access to those differences ourselves. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about this morning. As our founder, Ernest Holmes, writes, by expanding our understanding of the nature of God, we can see those aspects of ourselves and others until we are fully immersed in the oneness that we are. We don't start at oneness as a given, ignoring all the differences. Rather, we notice what's different and we embrace it, not necessarily for ourselves to become, but to appreciate the qualities of all of those that make up the perfection of the one. That's the richness of oneness, not smushed together, all the same, all identical, but unique and beautiful facets of perfection. Yesterday, I was honored to be part of the welcoming team's orientation and training. We reflected on the team's vision. Our vision is that everyone who enters the center for any reason feels at home, safe, acknowledged, loved, and a sense of belonging. Everyone who enters the center. After we read that together, we talked a bit about what it meant and what jumped out for people. Somewhat to my surprise, the most important, most talked about word in all of those qualities was acknowledged. Acknowledged, seen, and heard. Being respected as someone who matters, who's a presence, who's not just sort of off in the periphery of our vision and not noticed. But to be acknowledged. And that's another part of this whole discussion of divine feminine, divine masculine, and all the differences in our world. Can we learn to see other people as they are and to see ourselves as we are, not as we think or expect or should on ourselves, but that divine essence that's alive in each of us and expressing beautifully and uniquely. That's our invitation. B. Before I focus on the Divine Feminine, because of some of what I've been speaking, I can't help but mention the class that I'm facilitating starting tomorrow. Because it's all about not judging, not fixing, not converting, and not arguing, but learning how to listen to our inner teacher. First, that's the first actual purpose of this giving voice to our souls, is to learn how to listen to ourselves. And then, using some of the tools of Parker Palmer and his book, The Hidden Wholeness, we will also learn to appreciate and listen to others. It's a short little book study, only 5 weeks, and I'd be delighted if you join in it. Anyway, so much for the PSA. Let's get back to the actual subject of this talk. All of us have both masculine and feminine qualities within us. No matter what our birth status, what we call nowadays in modern terminology, I am a cisgender woman. In contrast to people who are not in the same gender expression as they were physically born in, and maybe transgender people, I am a cisgender woman. But there's so much more to all of that. Thanks especially to young people, we are no longer simplistic in our view of gender. It's not necessary to dismiss our feminine qualities, nor to dismiss our masculine qualities, whatever our gender identity, as male, female, fluid, gender fluid, or even not yet clear and certain and expressed. To be welcoming in these times, to make people feel acknowledged and safe, we need to learn how people choose to identify themselves. And as a person who's about to turn 70, I have all kinds of assumptions about grammar, about how things are and what I grew up with. And even at my relatively mature age, I and all of us are being invited into a new way of looking at the world that includes identifying our preferred pronouns. How many of you have heard that phrase before, to think about preferred pronouns? So, for example, I identify as she, her, her. Others may identify as he, him, his, or they, their, they, them, there. And all of those are simply expressions of identity that are important to the people who express them. Here's what a writer on the web, Hamid Kaur, writes in an article, Why It Matters What Pronouns You Use. Sure, it might feel a little uncomfortable at first, especially if you're not used to thinking about gender identity as distinct from a person's biological sex. Ultimately, though, normalizing the practice of sharing or asking about pronouns helps build a more supportive and inclusive environment for intersex, transgender, and non-binary people. It lets those folks know that you see them and respect them for who you are, that we acknowledge people and see them as who they are, not who we think they should be. That's really easy for me to say, and I suspect all of you know how many filters that means we need to gently clear away to see people as they want to be seen. There are many ways of approaching the divine feminine, often qualities like patience, nurturing, communication, intuition come forward. This morning, because it's a bit unusual, I want to talk about how the feminine shows up in the business world. We're now in the 2020s, we know women are very much an important contributing part. Last century, that was not always so well known. In the late 1980s, Sally Helgeson studied women who were successful business owners or corporate leaders. The executive's observations found in her book, The Female Advantage, still merit attention today. They reflect qualities of collaboration, communication, and connection. One of the women that Sally Helgeson interviewed was the founder of The Body Shop, Anita Roddick. She had some very frank observations about how she ran her business, which was a multi-million dollar international company. She started with the idea of caring, making intuitive decisions, not getting hung up on hierarchy or boring business school ideas, having a sense of work being a part of your life, not separate from it, putting your labor where your love is, being responsible to the world in how you use your money and your profits, and recognizing that the bottom line should stay at the bottom. I think those observations aren't just relevant to people working in business. I think that they are interesting ways to look at all that we do, whether it's working, grandparenting, creating, relaxing, to pay attention to what's real. Given that, I'm going to share a bit more with a PowerPoint about a comparison that Helgeson did to women's ways of being in business compared to a study done in the 1970s on men. And note that these are not meant to be all women do this and all men don't. In fact, there's much more balance in this, but it's the focus is on women. Like the men, the women worked at a steady pace with small breaks scheduled in throughout the day. Think about a typical day for you. Do you take a breath now and then? Do you stand up from your chair where you've been doing emails or writing something or looking at Facebook and stretch? Do you take time now and then to be grounded and centered? Whatever you're doing, that's the point of these little breaks. This is one that I find fascinating. The women did not view unscheduled tasks and encounters as interruptions. They served to keep relationships in the organization in good repair. Back when I first started working in the business world, having an office with a door was big status because you could close your door and work without interruption. You could be separate from all the hubbub going on outside in the rest of the workplace. Nowadays, as we move into a different form of management, having an open door so that people can bring ideas, share concerns, and just check in actually works amazingly well. And it's also something we try and practice here. Though sometimes Sunday mornings, for some of us, it's a little more challenging. When we are here, we want to be present to the people around us and not be so driven by our purpose to get across to my office to go pick up that form I needed to print and then bring it back over, and so that all of you just become part of the background. Each and every one of you matters. It really isn't in any way, shape, or form an interruption, because this is our community. It's not a place where I get my work done regardless of what's going on around me. Make time for activities not related to work or to whatever your most important purpose is. And if that includes, and that, I hope that you are blessed to have that include family. Let me say it that way. Because those relationships are vital to your well-being. And all of us have expiration dates. What we put off till tomorrow might not happen. So there's a word left out in the shortening in the PowerPoint, so I'm going to read the full statement here. Like the men, the women preferred face-to-face encounters, but scheduled time to attend to email, which was not seen as a burden. What I take away from this particular one was that they scheduled time to deal with their mail or email. It wasn't that every time the computer dinged or the phone flashed, they said, okay, whatever I'm doing, I have to check this email. They had a flow and a purpose to their day, so that email was a part of it in its place. And the rest of their day was ordered around other priorities, not just, oh my gosh, the phone dinged, I better do something about it. So consider scheduling how you check in with the electronic world. We're, as usual, running out of time, so I'm going to go a little bit faster. Maintain your relationships. When we did the happiness retreat here at the center a couple years ago, Edward mentioned that the people who live the best and the healthiest and happiest lives have friends. Have friends. They aren't isolated. So make time for those. Friendships and relationships take time and attention. But do it. Please do it. Focusing on the ecology of leadership. What's important versus what's urgent? We tend to, like we respond to emails, pay attention to what's most in our face, the crises, I've got to get it done right now, forgetting about those items that are longer term that may actually have more value, like taking time to reflect on what your priorities are, what matters to you, not just what's in your face in the present moment. Determining what's important, not just urgent. This, I think, is fairly straightforward. You're not just what you do. As religious scientists, we know that. We are who we are. Another point of power besides that closed door was, I have the information. I'm going to hoard it. And if you need information, you need to come to me and tell me that you matter enough that I should give you information. Thank goodness, in part probably because of the internet where there's so freaking much information, we no longer can hoard it. And in fact, we've discovered that by sharing information, collaborating with people, we get more done in better, more creative ways because we don't have just one person figuring out what needs to be done. We have a range of people with different experiences, different ideas, different insights, bringing that into doing the project. That's why at the center we have co-leaders. We don't have Dr. Edward as the supreme authority in all things, except once in a while. We have people that share in the leadership and the advancing of our center. So, very quickly, here's a quick summary, and I'm just going to pull them all up. Relationships, relationships, relationships. That's probably the key quality of the divine feminine. Connecting with other people and valuing them. Listening to them, caring about them, and maintaining those relationships. Family and other elements of your whole life matter, no matter what you're doing. and share what you know and learn what other people know. One of the huge gifts of the discussions we've been having in the diversity discussion group are hearing other people's experiences and having our own knowledge enriched by things that we would never have imagined because we took the time to acknowledge and hear someone else. So, in closing, I invite you to consider how you show up in the world. Whether your culture, your gender expression, your age, your abilities affect who you think you are, and are you truly seen as who you are? Take time to reflect on whether you are in the world, how you are in the world, reflects who you are at your core. Your identity as a spiritual being in human form, feminine, masculine, non-binary, however you express, is yours to choose and bring forward. That is the gift of the divine in every one of us. I want to close with these words of Thomas Merton, who might very well have been reflecting the divine feminine. There is within all things an inexhaustible sweetness and purity, a silence that is a fount of action and joy. It rises up in wordless gentleness and flows out to me from the unseen roots of all created being, welcoming me tenderly, saluting me with indescribable humility. If you would, please join me in a prayer. In this moment, I recognize the breadth and the scope and the wisdom of that thing itself, that divine allness beyond time, beyond form, expressing in infinite ways in each and every person. I take the time to remember to ground myself in this truth that I know is also the truth for every person in this room, that there is a divine spark expressing beautifully and uniquely from within, radiating out into all this community, that each person knows and chooses that which resonates with who they are, that which shines within them, that which embraces the love and the power, the beauty and the grace of this precious, precious life in human form. I claim for everyone in this room a deeper awareness, a deeper clarity, an openness and an embrace of the delicious variety of this life. Aware that that variety is based in a beautiful oneness that is always, always the truth. We are spirit in form. We are perfect, unique expressions of the divine. That is always, always the truth, for which I am most grateful. Releasing this word into the law and into the infinite power of love, I know it so. And together we say, and so it is. You would take a breath in. as we move into the time of our offering. First, let's take a stretch. That was a long talk. Now, I invite the ushers to stand as you take your gift in your hand and you recognize and remember the gift that each one of you is right here, right now. No exceptions, no matter what. Now, embracing yourself, embracing your gift given electronically, or the gift that you hold in your hand, holding it to your heart, please repeat after me. I bless this gift and myself. It and I do amazing work in the world. We go forth in love and grace and truth, knowing all is well. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.